Well, good morning, everyone. The Lord bless you all. It's wonderful to be able to be here today. And I just want to say, all weekend, we've been talking in our cabin about what's your favorite hymn. And we've just been incessantly remembering names of different hymns that we grew up with. We sang a few things. I'm sure many of them were off-key and probably missung some of the words. Hopefully we didn't sing any heresy as we missung some of the words. But one of them was On Jordan's Stormy Banks I Stand. And I remember us talking about the fact that I can barely even sing that song because it's just so beautiful. I didn't know that we were going to be singing it right before we got up here, but as the gift of my, what many might refer to, ADHD brain while we were singing that, I couldn't help but pray at the same time, Lord, would you please help those who are here this morning? But as we were singing that, I was praying, Lord, I'm sure that in a crowd this size, there are people here that are confused this morning. They might be confused about those words that we were just singing. There's probably people in this group this morning of various ages that say, I really don't know whether or not I am bound for the promised land. If that is you, that you are confused this morning and you don't know that you are bound for the promised land, the Lord does call you to come and trust in Him. And it is my sincere prayer that there might be some that would be contemplating that. Over the past few years, we rejoice at many of the children that are in this group that have come to know the Lord over the past few years. And we're praying for more, not just children, but adults that are here that may not know or may not truly believe that you would come to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And so, before we get started, would you just pray with me to that end? Lord, we do ask that you would reveal yourself to those who may not yet believe, that you would give them faith, that they might place their trust in you, and give them new life. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I need to do a few infomercials about just some preparation into this talk this morning. A couple of things. Number one, it wouldn't be right for me to give a talk and not mention Francis Schaeffer, so I'm going to mention his name at the very beginning. I apologize, kind of. But there is a great book that many of us have listened to over and over again. We used to use it traveling to and from the Mexico border. And in Mexico, we would listen to it, discuss it, and so forth. My wife would fall asleep during it. But it is a wonderful book by Francis Schaeffer, one of his smallest. And I commend it to you. And it is called The Mark of the Christian. It is probably one of my favorite books. It's small, okay, and it's readable. So I would encourage that to you to listen to and to or read as a family, as a study. The Mark of the Christian. Also, probably 10, 15 years ago, Pastor Scott and I, we were at a conference, and I don't remember where it was, but there was a panel discussion, and people were saying, what are some of your favorite theology books? What do you use for discipleship? What do you recommend to somebody who wants to be serious about their theology? And people were mentioning different books, and I can't remember who it was. I don't know if it was Sproul, if it was Dever. I don't remember who mentioned it. But they said, probably one of my number one theology books that I recommend is a hymnal. And some of us have been talking about just the power that God has given music and the truth put to music to teach throughout all of history. And so I want to commend some music to you that I've been listening to and have been listening to for the years. A couple of days ago, we went to the coffee shop here in town called AM Edition. There's a lady named Hillary. She's one of the owners there. I could tell by a lot of the signs and so forth that we probably had quite a bit of different opinions on some very important things. But she loved books. And as I was getting ready to leave, I said, you know, I think we were just talking about some of the books, the Chronicles of Narnia. I suggested to her, I was like, hey, have you ever heard of the Wingfeather series? I know a lot of people that really like that. And she's like, I'm going to look that up. And I said, well, here's what I understand. I think kids like it and adults like it. And if my memory serves me correctly, I believe it was C.S. Lewis, if you can correct me if I'm wrong, that said that a kid's book that only kids can enjoy is not really a good kid's book at all. And I would say the same thing about music. So I'm going to recommend some quote-unquote kid's music, but it's really good and it blesses anybody. So any kid's song that can only be enjoyed by children probably is not worth listening to. But Sovereign Grace Kids Music, their CD, Awesome God, is amazing. It just really is. And the song Forever God is just a great song. And Sovereign One is just great songs off of those albums. Sovereign Grace Kids Music. And then there's actually one that it's still in my draft folder. I was sitting on a plane on my way to Mexico and I was typing a letter to you all that never got out. And I was going to say, hey, listen to, there's a CD about the fruit of the Spirit by Sovereign Grace Kids, and it's called To Be Like Jesus. And there's one called Self-Control. And I commend that to you as well. It's a great, great CD and, well, whatever you call it now, album. Nobody has CDs anymore. They're like, what CDs? But I would certainly commend that to you. I don't know how I got assigned this topic. If I could show you the evidence of the emails from Scott and others saying to those who are speaking, brothers, here's the list of all the topics. Here's the fruit of the Spirit. Choose whichever one you want. The elders have chosen Aaron to speak on self-control. And I'm like, maybe because they know that that's the lesson I really need to focus on, I guess. I never really understood why I was selected for that. But I do know that I've been counseling a few people recently, and there was a couple that got married last weekend, performed their wedding, and somebody asked me at the reception and at the wedding, after the wedding, they said, what are you doing next weekend? I said, well, I'm going to be speaking at camp. And they said, what are you going to be speaking on? And I said, self-control. While we were standing at the buffet line, they asked me this. And they're like, ooh, that seems like a hard topic. And I'm like, yeah. But let's read again Galatians 5:22 through 24. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. And this morning's talk, we're going to look at what is self-control. Why is it glorifying to God? How can we grow in this aspect of the fruit of the Spirit? And finally, we'll do a wrap-up of what to do with what we've learned. So first, what is self-control? And I think we need to be clear. Self-control is not about willpower. It's not simply you and I trying our hardest to stay away from things that are wrong or dumb. It's not about our effort to try to do these things in our own strength. Willpower alone simply does not work. If you have any doubt of that, I'm sure that there's somebody here that said, after eating all of the pulled chicken that I heard was amazing, and all of the desserts, and after you go eat all of the leftovers over there, there's probably somebody here that said, man, on Monday, I'm going to start a diet. But let me tell you, Monday will never come. Willpower alone just does not work. Monday never comes. Self-control, as used in this text, gives the idea of self-mastery, self-restraint. It describes the one who masters his desires and passions, especially his sensual appetites. I didn't come up with that. That's from Thayer's Greek Lexicon, if you're interested. The word self-control, I don't see John Dickman here, but in his King James Bible, it probably says temperance is the word that's used there. There's a man that's really writes a lot about men's discipleship. His name is Joe Bernard. And he says in his book on discipleship for men that, and I love this. This is so good. Such a great definition. That self-control is not so much about willpower as it is the authority and freedom under Christ to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. I'm going to say that again because I think that's a wonderful definition. It's not so much about willpower as it is the authority and freedom under Christ to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. He also says, in Christ, we are liberated, equipped, and authorized to take leadership for our lives and to direct ourselves and our families along courses that bring honor and glory to God. Amen? He also says that self-control is not so much like someone who is a power lifter who just simply lifts out of brute force. I know some of that might describe some of you out here, right? There might be some gym bros in the crowd as well. But I will use the example of a runner who uses multiple skills and multiple muscles and muscle groups to perform a specific task to accomplish a goal. Now, I don't want to pretend to be an expert runner, but Kyle, Owen, and Clara, and perhaps others could tell us more about this, that running requires that you develop many different skills. You have to develop many different muscles, develop speed, lung capacity, stamina, the ability to endure hardship over long periods of time. We could be here all day with examples of self-control on display as described, but we're going to give just a few examples here. I'm just going to run through some of these. I hope they sound familiar because they're all from Scripture. And those that are not from Scripture, they fall right in line with what the Scripture teaches us of examples of self-control. Self-control is seen when you and I speak the truth to one another, but we do so in love. We don't just simply go up to someone and smack them over the head with the Bible, but we actually restrain ourselves and think about the other person's good and what we say to them, we do so in love. Self-control is evident when we do not let any unwholesome talk come out of our mouths, but only what is helpful for the building up of one another, speaking what edifies all those who listen, as Ephesians 4:29 says. When a person restrains themselves from lusting after another and therefore committing adultery in their heart. When a parent carefully disciplines their child in love rather than anger. Children, you can demonstrate the work of God in your lives through self-control when you obey your parents in the Lord. Or as our brother Jason mentioned last night, and I thought this was wonderful, when you work hard on completing your homework, he didn't mention this part, but I thought about this, instead of that one more hour of Fortnite, you are committed to completing your homework without being reminded, without your mom nagging, saying, I told you to finish your homework. Finish your reading assignment. You put aside Fortnite and you finish your homework. And children, I just want to say one more practical application about this. about what self-control can look like, especially to those who are born again. It is good for you as soon as possible to learn self-control on your own and learn to get up on time without having to be told to do so. Learn to make your bed, clean your room, get yourself ready for the day, and do all of this without having to be reminded by your parents. That may seem like something small, but it demonstrates discipline. It demonstrates obedience. And learn to control the way that you speak to your siblings and to others. And do that without having to be controlled by the parents who come around with the spoon. Right? Self-control is on display when we have mastery over our emotions and we speak a gentle answer to someone instead of something harsh which stirs up wrath. When we restrain ourselves and we don't answer a fool according to his folly. And it allows us to take authority over ourselves and get out of bed on time instead of hitting that snooze button 50 times. And we could go on and on and on about examples of self-control. But Bernard also mentions practical ways that you and I can grow in self-control. He mentions things like with the imagination. Now, don't lose me here, but I believe this is a very much a scriptural encouragement for us. If we want to grow in self-control, it requires you and I to think about things that are lovely, to think about things that are good, to think about things that are just, to think about things which are obedient, to think about those things which give honor and glory to Christ. And that's where it starts. Where you and I look at something, I'll give a personal example. Even this week, the past couple of weeks at work have been very difficult. And one thing, I'm not going to pretend or lie to you that I've behaved correctly in every single instance, but I will tell you my thought. Lord, I don't really know how I'm going to make it through this particular decision. However, I know what obedience and faith in you looks like in this instance. Help me to be self-controlled, that I might walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit in this instance. And it started with the simple thought, what glorifies Christ most in this situation? Because from our thoughts is going to inform our affections. It's going to control our heart. It's going to control our desires. And it's going to help us walk in obedience to Jesus Christ. Another way that he mentions is through our memory. If you and I want to grow in being self-controlled, if we want to grow in what it means to be Christ-like, could I encourage us all that it would be a wonderful thing for us to grow in our memorization of the Scriptures? Now, I'm going to mention that I would encourage you to put away your phone or your iPad for this, or your Android tablet, Scott. I'm sorry. For those Android users out there, I'll spread the love to you. But maybe get just some index cards and write out some scriptures and put the reference on the back and start committing things to memory. So that at that very moment that you can be reminded that no temptation has seized you but what is common to man. And God is faithful. And He will not allow you to be tempted beyond where you can stand. And when you are tempted, He will provide a way out that you may stand under your temptation. And He will give you a word at that time that you can trust in Him and His promises and walk according to His Spirit and not according to the flesh. So we've talked about imagination, thinking about what would bring God the most glory in this instance, memorizing His Word, and these things will transform our affections. It will help us in our desire to be obedient. It will help us in our desire to walk according to faith and not according to the flesh. And this will ultimately shape our character over time. And as we think about these things, and Scott, I'm trying not to win the ugly award for the longest sermon. So I'm going to tell you that we're going to transition into kind of the latter part of this is some practical applications about all of these things. And Pastor Scott sent some emails to the guys preparing to speak, and he rightfully so mentioned that we've been attempting to avoid the traps of legalism. And he's right to say this. But I want to mention to us that I believe that there's another danger that you and I are exposed to many days. And especially, I'm going to say, in the Reformed camps. And it is a clear danger that I fear exists in many churches. And it's what the book of James says, someone who is constantly a hearer of the word and fails to do what it says. And may it not be said of us that we are just simply here today and our minds have grown with a bunch of academic exercises here. And we walk away and we don't actually put into practice what has been said. What should we do with this information that we've been given this weekend? We've studied the fruit of the Spirit, and how can you and I practically walk away from this morning and put this into practice? Well, one idea that I didn't mention just came to me, and that's what we started with. If you find yourself this morning apart from Christ, the most practical and useful application is trust in Jesus Christ alone. But I'd like to call our attention to Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, and that's where we're going to end. I hope this is okay, elders. Thank you guys so much for allowing me to speak. I can't help but end on a missional note. As I was thinking about the fruit of the Spirit and why we're studying this and why we're gathered together, I couldn't help but think, what do we do with this? And hear the words of our Lord whenever He says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but they put it on a stand and it gives light to all that are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." There is a way that you and I can avoid wasting this great teaching that we've been exposed to this weekend. If we could please consider this, brothers and sisters, you and I are called by our Savior and Lord to be the light of the world. And we are called to take this precious light that we have been given and to put it on display. We should not hide it under a bush. Oh no, let it shine. As the old school Newsboys song, "Let It Shine," make them wonder what you got. Make them wish that they were not on the outside looking bored. Let your light shine. That's what we're talking about here. Our Christ-likeness, the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, and self-control, let it be on display before the watching world so that they may see that and give glory to God who is in heaven. Let it be on display. Of course, this would include letting your light shine in your home in front of your family. Of course, it would include letting your light shine in your home church. But brothers and sisters, let us be clear. If we are to obey the Scriptures, you and I are called not to just simply come together, and as useful as it may be, or as entertaining as it may be to some, to talk about the third declension of the genitive form of the whatever in Greek, and you're talking about the four different perspectives that four different theologians have on the use of the third person voice whenever they say the word "the." As useful as that may be, or as entertaining as that may be, brothers and sisters, let us take this Christ-likeness that God has put in each one of us and put it on display in front of a watching world. Now that's scary. That's risky and that's dangerous. Because you and I are going to look like fools to many. And you and I will fail miserably. But, and we will look like fools to many, but to those who are being saved, you and I will be the announcers of good news, preaching liberty to the captives. We will be preaching to dry bones to come and live again. When you and I, through Christ, put on display these good deeds, this good work that Christ has begun in each one of us. Let our light shine before others. Now, I was speaking the other night with, I believe last night, Brian Malin and I, we were talking, and brother, I hope you don't mind. He was just saying, you know, I really want to be a faithful witness. I hope you don't mind this. I should have asked you. I'm sorry. And he's like, you know, I admire that. He's like, I want to be more bold in sharing the gospel with other people. And you know, in the church also, we can do a bad job making people feel guilty if they don't have the gift of evangelism. Not everybody is gifted as an evangelist. And that's okay. Your gifting is in other areas, but all of us, to some degree or another, have to be prepared to give a reason for the hope that is within us. Now, some people are gifted in the gift of evangelism, but all of us have to be ready to put on display the good work that Christ has done and is doing in us. And let's be honest with each other. Fear is probably the biggest factor stopping us or slowing us down. But we need to recognize that many of us, including me, fear more often than not the opinion of other people, or we fear what our kids might be exposed to, or we might fear the opinions of others within the church. We might fear, oh, maybe I didn't say that correctly. Maybe that wasn't reformed enough. Maybe I said something that might cause somebody to, you know, their hair to stand up just a little bit. And we fear the opinions of others rather than obeying God. And I think it's very interesting and encouraging to think about one of the greatest themes throughout the Old and New Testament is Jesus constantly reminding His people, do not be afraid, for I am with you. Be strong and be courageous, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And that is a great, and Jesus says that in the Great Commission, and lo, I am with you always. Don't be afraid, Christian, to let your light shine before men so that they might give glory to God, your Father. I was thinking about this. Kyle, I want to specifically encourage you this morning. God bless you and your work as a public school teacher in an arena where the truth is under attack. Now, I know I might offend people by encouraging you in that. It's risky for me to say this. I admit that. But you have chosen to enter into a very dark, depressing, and dangerous arena. And we pray for you and we thank God for you, and let the light of Christ shine in you. The Lord is displaying His mercy and His grace to the students at your school by putting you in their midst that they might see and hear the truth and repent and be saved. And brother, let your light shine. Students here that attend school outside of the home, whether that be college, public school, private school, wherever it is, let your light shine. Let the fruit of the Spirit be on display before other people that they might give glory to God. Don't hide the fruit that God is producing in you. Be humble, and in every day let the light of Christ shine in you. Are you doing this? We're talking about more than just good little kids that obey the rules. We're talking about intentionally letting other people see the things in you that only God can produce in you. Let's step it up. Are we praying for the salvation of our friends and enemies? Are we? Kids, if you attend school, are you praying for the bully? Are you praying for someone that you would say is your enemy? Maybe that's a teacher. Are you praying for the salvation of your friends? Are you opening your mouth and speaking the truth of them? Are you seeking to influence others? Maybe if you're homeschooled, maybe this takes place at a public park. Maybe you're playing soccer. Olivia told me not to mention pickleball, but I'll mention pickleball anyway. Maybe it's playing pickleball. Maybe it's playing basketball. Whatever it is, are you taking that opportunity to let the light of Christ shine? Are you willing to take risks for the sake of Christ? Don't be afraid. You are going to fail. You're going to get pushback. But just remember, the Lord is with you wherever you go. For some, it may mean having contact with others outside, who are outside of Christ might require a little bit more intention. It may mean that some of us here need to go join a gym somewhere. It may mean that we need to sign our kids up for a sports team. It may mean that we need to go somewhere where we can have access to other people around us, that we can be a light in the midst of darkness. And go let your light shine. Those who are older probably are hearing the Kathy Tricoli song. I think it was Kathy Tricoli, right? Take your candle and go light the world. Right now, is it Kathy Tricoli, dear? Yeah, she's like, I can't believe you mentioned that. But let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and give glory to God, your Father. But let's not stop simply with the command to let our light shine before others. Never forget the reason. The reason is clear. That others may see the good works in you and give glory to your Father. Not glory to you. Not glory to me. As we sing, all glory to Christ. Right? Not so that you can walk into school one day and, you know, you've got your Bible with you and you're influencing, and somebody says, wow, such a good young man, very mindful, very demure. That's not what you're aiming for. You're aiming for somebody to look and say, glory to God. Right? Instead of gaining attention for ourselves, let the attention go to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when others see your good works, others might say, wow. Why do they have the hope that they have? Why do they have the joy that they have? Why do they have the love that they have? Why do they have the peace that they have? Why are they so self-controlled? Why is it that they are concerned about me genuinely? And use that as an occasion for an open door for the gospel, that you might let your light shine and declare the light of Christ in you. Friends, let's don't take these messages this week and walk away thinking, well, I've got some more education now. I feel like I have more understanding. But let it be a fuel to a fire that's burning inside of you to glorify God, so that others might see the glory and the mercy and the majesty of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And may He help us with that task. And may the Lord bless you. I'd like to close with this. The folks who have really... I've really been blessed by the songs that we've been singing. Thank you guys so much. It's been wonderful. And I know that they're going to come up and lead us in a closing song. But we're going to have a pre-closing song. And yesterday in the prayer meeting... Janet doesn't know this, but I was sitting there praying, another feature of the ADHD brain is while others were praying, I was praying. I know, what a concept. And I was praying, you know, Lord, I really want us to sing This Little Light of Mine. But I do fear what other people will think. I think people will think, oh, that's really juvenile of you. Why would you sing that? But I'm going to ask us to sing that. And so as I was praying that, I was praying, I really want us to sing that song together, and I really want us to think about, truly, just the chorus of that, This Little Light of Mine, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. And as I was praying that, Janet begins to quote that song in her prayer. Do you remember that, Janet? About hiding it under a bushel. Yeah, we're not going to sing that part, we're just going to sing This Little Light of Mine. And I was overwhelmed. I began to weep, actually, at that point, just at the beauty of gathering together and praying together with God's people. But friends, may we let the light of Christ shine in us, that people may see, just as it's written in the Old Testament, that the glory of God may be known beyond the borders of Israel, that the whole world might see that Jesus Christ is Lord. Let's let our light shine, okay?